Future-Proof Extra from Newstalk.
Now, when the Earth was young, the land was a barren wasteland. Life was confined to the soupy oceans. But one day, one brave life form decided it would venture outside. You're probably imagining some sort of pioneering fish or courageous crab, but you're hundreds of millions of years ahead of yourself because it was, of course, plants that first made that giant leap. So how do they do it? Well, Professor Stefan Rensing is at the Faculty of Biology. He's a plant cell biologist at the University of Marburg. He joins me now. Welcome to the program, Stefan.
Hello.
Talk to us a little bit about the last common ancestor for plants, because we've spoken on the program before about the last universal common ancestor, also known as LUCA. But we have never talked about the first plants that made it out of the oceans. What do we know about that time?
So as you said, plant life actually predated animals in moving to land and sort of prepared the land for the animals later to make the move. And we gather that was approximately 500 to 600 million years ago. And the sister lineage to what we know as land plants were algae. And they didn't much look like plants. They were filamentous green algae. And actually, they were living in freshwater pools, probably, and from there then made the move to land.
What did they look like?
Well, essentially, you could say they were just like little green tubes, so one cell after the other, probably branching a little to the side. But if you would look at them with the naked eye, they would just be like some little green filaments on the rocky surface and nothing more, probably.
Do we have fossil records of these animals, these plants?
Well, the problem is that for approximately 100 or 50 to 100 million years, so the earliest time when plants made it to land, this is not really well covered in the fossil record. The fossil record starts a little later when plants actually started to have a more sturdy structure that could be better preserved in the fossil record.
How do we know this happened then? Is it through a gene work or looking at the chemistry of those periods through cores?
It's a couple of evidences. On one hand, in recent years, the phylogeny, so the taxonomic relationships, were resolved. And we know now which of the algae are the sister group to land plants. We didn't know previously, or we didn't know for sure. We know now based on phylogenetic inference, based on all the new sequencing data generated over the last years.
And when you say phylogenetic, you mean the DNA of these plants?
Essentially, yes. So yeah. So the genetic information was used to come up with the species relationship exactly.
When we think of moving onto land, usually you imagine some sort of motor function, whether it's flipping arms of a fish or crawling or whatever. How do plants make that migration, given the fact they don't really move?
Well, obviously they didn't possess motility to get to land, although they have motile sperm cells. But the plant or algae as such didn't have that chance. So it was probably a slow process going from pools or puddles that would dry out to land and adapting also to these aerial conditions and to a completely different habitat. But if you imagine they were living under conditions where they were sometimes drying out or the whole surrounding was drying out, it would be an advantage for them, of course, to have molecular features that would allow them to cope with that kind of stress, with drought stress in particular.
Yeah, I haven't asked, I probably should have. What did the environment, what did the planet look like so many millions of years ago?
It was very different from today. Essentially, the surface of Earth was rock. So there was no soil cover. And so it was hard, actually, for life to move there. The only thing that probably was there before were a kind of so-called biological soil crusts made up or containing bacteria. But there was no eukaryotic higher order life probably on surface of Earth. So these algae then were the first ones to make that move.
It's hard to imagine, I suppose, a world that is just rock and water. But of course, as you say, soil is the corpses of plants, essentially. So without any soil, you have nothing. You have just literally rock and water. In the waters, were there animals around this age? There must have been.
Yes, absolutely. Animals were around both in the sea and in fresh water. But for them to make the move to land, first the plants had to go there and essentially establish an environment that the animals could thrive in.
Of course, yeah. You need something to eat, and if there's no plants on the surface, then you're not going to last very long. So how did these early plant life forms develop the tools needed to survive on land? Because as you say, once you're out of the water, you have a lot of support mechanisms robbed from you. What sort of evolutionary tricks did they use to be able to survive?
So they had a couple of changes that allowed them to survive in these conditions. So on one hand, a plant-like cell wall, so a kind of sturdy cell wall, was one of the changes that allowed them to withstand these conditions. Imagine that in water you have buoyancy, so you don't need to sustain an upright body plan. But if you move to air, that's quite different. So you have to have a kind of skeleton that allows you actually an upright body plan. And also they had to cope with lots of stresses that are not so dominant in water. For example, ultraviolet radiation or drought. So these were among the major stresses that they had to adapt to. And for that, they came up actually with the suit of protective substances and also with the gene set allowing them to regulate that.
And they robbed some of these genes from bacteria in the seas, isn't that right?
It could well be. So there was a recent study suggesting that two of the major players that allow for abiotic stress tolerance were actually from bacteria originally.
And how on earth could we find that out? How do we know that?
So transfer of bacterial DNA into plant cells happens all the time. But for it to survive the millennia, it has to be integrated into the genome and then vertically transmitted, usually through sexual reproduction, to the offspring. And this is a pretty rare event, but it happens. And in that particular case, there is again a kind of phylogenetic evidence that this has occurred, because if you look at these particular genes and their relationships among organisms, you realize that their closest relatives are from bacteria. So based on that, it's absolutely possible that they were acquired from bacteria.
People who have a basic understanding of evolution can understand how once you have the gene in your gene pool, how that may get refined and strengthened and changed over generations. But that horizontal gene transfer, as it's called, the movement of genes from bacteria into a completely different type of life form, a plant, how does that happen?
Essentially, via free DNA. So bacteria are using, for example, plasmids, so little circular pieces of DNA for transmission of DNA. They are using that among each other. It's a kind of exchange of genetic information that bacteria frequently use. And some of them then learned the trick to make use of these mobile genetic elements also to get them into other organisms like plants. For example, there are both pathogenic and symbiotic relationships between bacteria and plants where DNA is exchanged.
And I suppose any of that exchange a million times over could fail, but as a result of evolution, one of those adaptations, one of those weird traits, whether influenced by ultraviolet light or horizontal gene transfer, over time, one of those turned out to be the sort of adaptation that allowed these organisms to survive and thrive on Earth. One of the things...
Exactly. If you have a transmission of a gene, and that gene is beneficial then for the plant, it will be under selection to be kept, and that's then the way how it establishes itself in the gene pool.
When we think of plants, we think of photosynthesis and how they convert sunlight into food. When did that relationship begin? Because obviously they were plants in the sea as algae. Did they develop photosynthesis and this ability at the same time as leaving the oceans and moving to land?
Actually, the photosynthetic capability evolved a lot earlier. It was first bacteria who evolved that, and it was more than a billion years ago that plant life in the wide sense, so algae, acquired this from bacteria. And it was then many hundreds of million years later that these algae that were already using photosynthesis actually moved to land.
What sort of transition are we talking about when we have these first plants arriving on land? What sort of transition do we have to get to the Earth we know today?
So they had to cope with entirely different conditions than they were used to in water. The light quality was different. They had all these stresses that they had to cope with. So it took actually a couple of modifications, of adaptations, to be able to thrive there. And as far as we know, they did it only once. It was a one-time event.
Wow.
Maybe because several changes need to occur, so it was a rare event. But once it happened, it was very successful and quickly spread. I would say probably these kind of filamentous green forms that were able to withstand drying out and were also able to cope with ultraviolet radiation, they were then somehow suddenly possible to survive in this dry, in this aerial habitat. And once this was possible, they didn't have any competitors there. So very quickly they could then divide and propagate and spread over this surface on Earth.
When you think about the incredible diversity of plants across the entire world, it's crazy to think that they all started at this one place in such a basic form and developed into the intricate wonder that is trees, shrubs, plants, flowers, and so on.
Yes, it's hard to imagine, and it took probably many million years until they looked like something that we would recognize as a plant. So that was a long evolutionary process. And for example, initially plants, even though they were already erect, did not have roots. Roots evolved later. And flowers, for example, also evolved a lot later. So it was a long evolutionary process to get to something that you would recognize as a typical plant that you see around you today.
So half a billion years ago, first contact with these plant life forms began, a journey to take us to a planet Earth today. fascinating speaking with you. Professor Stefan Rensing from the University of Marburg, thanks very much for talking to us.
Thank you very much.